Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, Mandarin Chinese, and other languages are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. The last time we were together here on Hope for Today, we were studying Luke chapter 12 and verses 49 to 59 under the title, A Clueless Crowd. This text presents several criticisms of the crowd that was listening to Jesus teach. And as you and I look at these criticisms, we can clearly see there are some applications for our lives today. The first criticism we looked at the last time was that the crowd was clueless about the cost of discipleship. You see, they thought Jesus had come to set up an earthly kingdom where there would be peace and prosperity. But Jesus quickly informed them that the kingdom he was bringing would be accompanied by hardship and pain and suffering. Now, Jesus had two more criticisms for the crowd in this text, but before we get to them, let me read the scripture text again, Luke chapter 12 and verses 49 to 59.
I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to bring peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, and two against three. Father will be divided against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Then he also said to the multitudes, Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, A shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, There will be hot weather. And there is. Hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. The second criticism of the crowd Jesus gave was they were clueless about the chronology of prophecy. Some people are very interested in prophecy, and they try to assign prophetic details to every major world event. They engage in all kinds of speculation that goes way beyond the scriptures. Then there are others who ignore or deny prophetic portions of scripture, or they allegorize them and say they're not to be taken literally. Neither approach is biblical or helpful. Jesus' listeners were able to look at the signs in the sky and then with reasonable certainty determine the local weather patterns. Clouds in the west meant rain was moving in from the Mediterranean. Wind from the south came across the desert and brought heat with it. That wasn't too difficult to figure out, and we use similar signs today. But Jesus criticized them for acknowledging the signs in nature, but refusing to believe the signs that pointed to him as Messiah. In fact, he called them hypocrites. Nobody likes to be called that. A hypocrite is an actor, someone who creates a false perception of who they really are. The people Jesus was talking to claimed to be knowledgeable about the scriptures but professed an inability to recognize Messiah's appearance. This was unreal. It was not that they couldn't see he was the Messiah, but they did not want to see it in spite of the evidence. In fact, in verse 57, Jesus tells them they should have been able from their own observation to figure out the times they were living in. Without Jesus' teaching, they had enough information to understand where they were on God's prophetic clock. Remember, I said in my introduction that we often see the things we want to see, and the things we don't want to see, we just pretend they don't exist. This is where Jesus' listeners were. Their blindness, like that of their spiritual leaders, was willful. And you know something? There is none so blind as those who refuse to see. They saw the miracles Jesus performed. They heard his teaching, how he used the scriptures to demonstrate that he was the promised Messiah. But because they had preconceived ideas about him and about his coming, they held to their ideas rather than acknowledging his truth. They wanted him to conform to their expectations rather than their being willing to conform to his truth. There are many people today just like those in the crowd listening to Jesus. Today, signs clearly point to the return of Christ. After his resurrection, when Jesus ascended to heaven, the heavenly messengers spoke to the watching disciples. This is what they said: "This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." No one who is a true follower of Jesus denies the reality of his coming. And while we may not all agree on the timing of certain events, it seems beyond question that we're experiencing the conditions Jesus warned us about in Matthew 24 and other scripture portions. Yet the Apostle Peter warns us that in the days immediately preceding the return of Christ, there will be many scoffers. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." That's 2 Peter 3:3. How many professing Christians do you know who think and speak regularly about the coming of Christ? Do you do that? When was the last time you mentioned the coming of Jesus in conversation with another person? Several times in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul urges us as followers of Jesus to encourage and comfort each other with the reality and the imminence of Christ's coming. And John reminds us the anticipation of Jesus' coming motivates holy living. 1 John 3:1-3. If, like the steward Jesus mentions in these verses just preceding our text, we think that the Lord is delaying his coming, we will begin to live carelessly, and we will share a similar fate with that unfaithful steward. So I urge you, my friend, look around. Pay attention to what's happening in our world and in the church. You will see clearly that we are approaching the climax of human history. Don't be so concerned about pursuing things. Instead, focus on laying up treasure in heaven. I assure you of this: if your treasure is in heaven, you'll think and speak about heaven much more often. So don't be clueless about the chronology of prophecy. The final criticism Jesus had for the crowd was they were clueless about the consequences of indecision. In these closing verses, Jesus urges his hearers to make a decision before it's too late. He reminded them of the wisdom of settling the disputes they had with each other before the matter ended up in court. If they insisted on going to court, the verdict could go against them, and then they would be required to pay the full amount of their sentence. We know from Deuteronomy 15 that the law of Moses was favorable toward those who were debtors. They were not to be taken advantage of. They were not to be charged interest. Their fellow men were to help them in their time of extremity, and their debts were to be forgiven in a Sabbath year. So Jesus encourages his listeners to wisely take advantage of the provisions of the law of Moses, rather than ending up in the civil courts of Rome. The one who refuses to reconcile with his creditor places himself beyond mercy. What do we make of Jesus' words here? It seems to me that in this scene, Jesus is the adversary, God is the judge, and prison is eternal punishment. Those listening to Jesus were at odds with him. He was their adversary. They needed to judge what was right and believe on Jesus before God judged them and condemned them for their unbelief. If people come to agreement with Jesus before judgment day comes, they will save themselves from having judgment made against them there. But if they refuse, they simply bring upon themselves their own fate. If they don't come to agreement with him, every sin will be accounted for, and they will be made liable for their whole debt. They will not be able to find a way out of their final punishment. It's clear that in their case, their final debt can never be repaid. It's only in earthly situations where debts can hopefully sometime in the future be paid off, so that a way of final escape can be possible. But the heavenly court will be without compromise. The phrase is really declaring that such a possibility of release is out of the question. It will never happen. The earthly hope of being saved from debtor's prison would be the arrival of a kinsman redeemer to pay the debt for him. But those who have failed to conciliate with Jesus have forfeited their kinsman redeemer. My friend, have you made the decision to be reconciled with Christ? You are definitely indebted to him. You belong to him first of all by right of creation. And in addition, he died for your sins so you could be adopted into his spiritual family and experience joy and true freedom. When you, by faith, accept the death of Christ on the cross as the only sufficient payment for your sin, God wipes the record clean. Your sins are forgiven. However, if you refuse to accept what Christ has offered, you will eventually face the full wrath of Almighty God. Those are the only two choices available. Indecision can be eternally fatal for you. So I urge you to separate yourself from the clueless crowd, those who follow Jesus for loaves and fish, but reject his call for discipleship. Understand that the imminent return of Jesus motivates holy living and a focus on gospel proclamation. And finally, be assured the time of decision is now, today. The consequence of indecision will be an eternity filled with regret.
My friend, were you blessed by this study? If you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, A Clueless Crowd. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, A Clueless Crowd. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533, to request a free copy of this teaching, A Clueless Crowd. It's available to you either in print or on an audio CD. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week to Hope for Today. Lord willing, we'll continue our study in the Gospel of Luke. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.